This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 4th, 2018. The Third Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
God spoke all these words. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
For those of you who are regular here, we generally hear on the first Lord's Day of the month. This being the first Lord's Day of the month, let us hear the words of the Decalogue. We speak the words of the Decalogue the first Sunday of every month. Today, the first reading was the Decalogue. 10 words. Those 10 words that we hear monthly. I actually kicked around the idea in prepping for this week, and maybe you ought to hear the Decalogue 2 different times. That would be a good thing for us to understand and, as it says in the old prayer book, inwardly digest the Decalogue. As I was walking around this morning, I had a couple questions. Did you do 2 Decalogues today? Are we going to do 2? We should. Occasionally, it's probably good for us to hear the Decalogue for the whole time we were standing in this place. It is that important. Why? Because there are really 10 important rules? Yeah, in part. But even more so, because of the way it starts out. God spoke all these words. Not so much the rules themselves, but the source of the rules, the source of the commandments, because God says them. We should rely on that frequently, what God says, and not what we hear as the traditions of men. But with that in mind, we have to understand that the Ten Commandments are that important. You know, I actually think that would be a good thing for us to hear them every week. But from pastoral considerations and time and all that good stuff, which I generally don't take into consideration because this is the Lord's day, not his hour and 15 minutes. But I do consider occasionally. And the law can be summarized as it is every time we gather together for Mass. In thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That is just like saying the Decalogue, just like, as the New Testament writer tells us, if you love, you are keeping the commandments. Just that one is covered by the Decalogue. So no matter how we hear it, no matter how abbreviated it may be or summarized as it might be, we have to understand that the import does not change. Why? Because God spoke these words. When God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses and the people of Israel, oh, I read the Ten Commandments in the Bible all the time. That's great. I hope you read what's going on a little bit before and a little bit after. The commandments are embedded in God's presence. God just doesn't drop some tablets down from heaven onto Moses' lap. He makes the people prepare and Moses prepare for approaching him. I, God, am going to come down and I'm going to give you something. Prepare yourselves. And God says, don't let anyone get near this mountain because I am going to be there. I, God, personally am going to be there. You wash yourself, you fast. Don't come near the mountain. Even if an animal comes near the mountain, kill it. It's that holy. And while God's there, he embeds the commandments in his presence. The commandments are God. They are what he is. They are what he expects of us. They are embedded in his presence, even in their presentation. God gives the commandments, and then at the end, the people look and they go, Moses, no, you talk to us. Tell us everything he's got to say. We don't want nothing to do with being in his presence. That's how fearful the presence of God is. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Moses says, and I quote, "Do not fear, for God has come to prove you. The fear of him may be before your eyes, that you may not sin." Almost sounds contradictory. Do not fear, but he has put his fear before your eyes. Are we supposed to fear or not? The answer to that question is yes. You are supposed to fear God. Well, that means respect. No, it means fear. You are supposed to fear God. Not fear in as much as, oh, he's here, he's going to hit me. He's going to send me to hell. That's not the fear he wants to have. He wants you to have the fear that if you don't live in accord and within the parameters of his will, that that may happen. So fear is before you, but don't fear that you're going to have the consequences right now. I'm going to give you some parameters in which to live to where you don't have to worry about it, but fear me. I love when I get asked to assist at other parishes with their First Communion classes. Because before First Communion, we always go to confession. Have 50 or 60 little ones that are going to have their First Communion. I love nothing better, and I know catechists have done their job when the little ones will come up and they are scared to death. I like it when they're shaking. I like it when they're crying, because I can fix that. I can tell them that there's nothing to be afraid of, but I'm glad that their approach is what it should be. That means somebody's done their job. There should be the fear of God. Every one of us, when we go in the confessional, should have that in the back of our mind. I don't want to say this. I don't know what he's going to say with it. That's good. Because if the confessor's doing what he should alleviate that fear. You should go in there with it. It's because you understand that you violated God's parameters. God's parameters are the Ten Commandments. He gives them to us twice in the Bible, once in Exodus chapter 20, once in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And they, in their content, as far as the laws themselves, they are verbatim. Verbatim. There's some different commentary in each, but the laws as they are presented, they don't change. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the Ten Commandments are the epitome of all laws. All laws. That would encompass the natural law, civil law, all God's precepts. The epitome of all laws can be found in the Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments are nothing new. The Ten Commandments are not a new code that's established by God to Moses. Here, you've been messing up a whole, let me give you something different. Let me work this way. The Ten Commandments are not a new code. The Ten Commandments are God's mercies in shining light on what we had from the very beginning. From the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, there was in their hearts an understanding of what we refer to as the natural law. There are just some things that are right and wrong. There are some things that are good and evil. There are some things that are just and unjust. There are some things that are virtuous and some that are nothing but vice. We know them. You know them innately. You can't throw out this, well, this culture, this religion, and nope. This innate natural law, things that are good and evil are just there. And everybody knows it. Killing. You don't kill innocent people. You don't kill people because you're mad at them. Adam and Eve didn't have the Ten Commandments. They'd never heard, "Thou shalt not kill." And when Cain killed his brother, God confronted, "Where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper?" He didn't have the commandments. Why didn't he just say, "I killed him, he made me mad"? Why didn't he just say that? Because he had the innate natural law and he knew it was wrong. And when he was confronted with that, "Your brother's blood screams to me from the ground," he said, "I can't bear this. Now anybody that finds me will kill me." Cain knew that not only was it wrong to kill, but that there was retribution for killing. And it was your life. He knew that in his heart. Nothing had been written. It was just there. The natural law. You don't steal from other people. You don't take what's not yours. The natural law. You have the right to self-defense. You have the right to your personal property. And you can defend your personal property. That's the natural law. Every culture on the face of the planet knows that. Every culture. The Ten Commandments are the epitome of this natural law. As I said, it wasn't a new code. Because of the fall, we start suppressing the natural law. We start making excuses for this, that, and the other thing. "Well, I killed him because he did this. I took that because I don't have it, and that person has a whole lot more than I do. That gives me license to do it." We suppressed the natural law. God won't have it. But in his mercies, and it is his mercy, these people are starting to suppress the natural law. "I'm going to give Moses a list." We use it proverbially occasionally. Would he need that written in stone? What do you need? An engraved invitation? Yeah, we do, occasionally. We don't get it unless it's up in our face. You're suppressing the law that's in your heart. Let me make it real clear for you. Here are the rules. They are not arbitrary to ruin your good time down here because God's some cosmic stick in the mud. They're there for your benefit. He knows who you are. He knows that you need to see it in front of your face as to how he wants you to live. Not good enough that it's just in your heart. Here, let me write it down for you. And he does. That's how important the Ten Commandments are. They are the core of biblical ethics. The Ten Commandments, that's for the Old Testament. We have Jesus now. He came for us, and he died on the cross for us. Yeah, and he said a lot of things too, like for instance in Luke chapter 18, when somebody comes up to him and says, "Lord, how do I inherit eternal life?" Jesus looked at it presumptuously and says, "You know the commandments." Jesus takes it for granted that people of faith know the commandments. That people of faith know the commandments. I don't want to see a show of hands. I don't want head nods or shaking of heads or anything like that. I'm kind of disturbed at how few Catholics would be able to, if I gave them a piece of paper with 10 lines on it and said, "Put the Ten Commandments down there for me." They might get most of them. I'm thinking that there might be one or two missing. Okay? Much less if I said, "Hey, put them in order." That'd be tremendous. Jesus Christ presumes that you know the Ten Commandments. That's like, okay, you're a person of faith. You should know what God wants. No brainer. "Oh, but Jesus came, you know, and he did away with the law." That's not what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 5, "I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." He didn't do away with it. He proved that it can be done. He proved that it can be done. And then the end all be all of Jesus' statements according to the commandments. John 14, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He doesn't say, "If you love me, you will have faith. If you love me, you'll be a daily mass attender. If you love me, you'll say all your rosary. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And notice he doesn't say, "If you love me, you will know them." Knowing them is apples and oranges proposition to keeping them. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's how important they are. That's why we hear them once a month and in summary every time we come, because they've been given us by God and we cannot deny his wisdom and his justice. He is God, he is all wise, he is all just, nor can we escape his infinite power and might. You know, this can sound kind of overwhelming. Oh, the specter of hell is before me because I can't keep the law. Guess what? It should be just the opposite. The Ten Commandments should call forth our gratitude to God for giving them to us. We should recognize our dignity for him giving them to us. He cares so much for us that he doesn't want us to go without them. St. Paul says, if it wasn't for the law, I wouldn't know sin. Because of the fall of our first parents, we have suppressed the natural law. We don't get it. So he has, because he loves us, he shined light on it. Here, no, okay, you want to darken it up? Here, let me write it down for you. That's what he does. We should be so grateful that he considers us so much that he will go out of his way to even write it down for us. The first prayer that we said today, the collect, one of the petitions, one of the things that we asked God for was to stretch forth thy right hand and be our defense. He has answered that prayer by giving Moses the Ten Commandments to be passed down to us. He has answered our prayer before we even prayed it. The scriptures tell us he will do things like that. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you even ask it. He works like that. Always like when kids come up to me, Father, pray for me because I have a big test coming on. Okay, I shall pray. Look at that. God answered. He put a brain in your head, gave you a nice roof over your house. So now you can pray and study in safety. So go home and do it. He's answered your prayer already. You know, that's how he works. He's given us the stuff. Now we need to do it. He's given us the commandments. Now we got to keep them. Because when we keep the commandments, when we keep them, we have to understand that that is in and of itself a manifestation of God, because he will bless. If you keep his commandments, he will bless you individually. When a society keeps his laws, he will bless that society. A few weeks ago, we had the Queen of Sheba reading. Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon, who at that point in his life was keeping the law of God. She wasn't converted. She wasn't converted to what he did. But she looked at him and said, your God has blessed you beyond everything I've heard and anything I could have imagined. She saw God's blessing on Solomon because Solomon was faithful. He will put his hand of blessing on those who keep his law, and he will take it away from those who do not. Look around you. Look at your society. Why is all this bad stuff happening? Because Almighty God has taken his hand of blessing all this land. Because we do not keep his commandments. When it becomes okay to kill babies in the womb, when it becomes okay for people to have relations that are so heinous and abominable and unthinkable that just 15 or 20 years ago, if they had been mentioned, they would have been laughed at because it would be so foreign to propriety. God removes his hand of blessing, and that's why you have all the problems that you have now. It's because we're not keeping his commandments. So what do we have to do? We have to keep them ourselves. And he will keep his hand of blessing on us as individuals and faithful parishes and faithful portions of the church who continue to keep his commandments. It's a witness. The psalmist actually says it. Lauding God, glorifying God. He said he has not dealt with any other nation like he's dealt with us because they don't know his commandments. When you don't know his commandments, his hand of blessing is not on you. We have to understand this, so we should fear him taking his hand of blessing off us. There's people, they looked at Moses. We don't want to hear from him. We'll listen to you, but we're scared to death. He said, do not fear, for God has come to prove you. Fear of him may be before your eyes, that you may not sin. That's the reason we should fear God, that we may not sin, that we may have eternal life with Him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have to appreciate that. Well, that fear of God, you know, just says how Old Testament. No, it's not. It is absolutely not. The book of Hebrews, St. Paul says, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. He wants us to fear Him before we fall into His hands. And the only reason He's angry is if we don't keep His commandments. In the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost.